ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। श्रीमतं स्वकथा कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृदयन्तो स्वहीय भद्राणि विदुनोति स्वस्वता। So today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 36. We'll do word for word first. The chapter is the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Vyavahita, standing at a distance. Pritana, soldiers. Mukham, faces. Nirikshya, by looking upon. Swajana, kinsman.
Vadhat,
from the act of killing.
Vimukasya,
one who is reluctant.
Dosha buddhya,
by polluted intelligence.
Kumatim,
poor fund of knowledge.
Aharat,
eradicated.
Atma vidyaya,
by transcendental knowledge.
Ya,
he who.
Charana,
to the feet.
Rati,
attraction.
Paramasya,
of the supreme.
Tasya,
for him.
Me,
my.
Astu,
let there be.
Vavahita pritana mukham nirikshya. Hita pritana mukham nirikshya. Swajana vada vimukhasya dosha buddhya. Vadad mukhamasya dosha buddhya. Kumate mana aradatma vidyaya yash. Charanarati paramasya tasya mestu. Yavahita pritana mukham niriksha. Swajana vadadvi mukhasya dosha buddhya. Kumate maharadatma vidya, atma vidya yayash. Aradatma vidya yayash. Charanarati paramasya tasya mestu.
Please chant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ho. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance, upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. So as we know, Sri Bhishma Dev is speaking at this time, right before he is about to leave this material world, and he's praying to Krishna. And so this is almost the end, maybe 5 or 6 more prayers he will be saying. Purport. The kings and the commanders were to stand in front of the fighting soldiers. That was a system of actual fighting. The kings and commanders were not so-called presidents or ministers of defense as they are today. They would not stay home while the poor soldiers or mercenaries were fighting face to face. This may be the regulation of modern democracy, but when actual monarchy was prevailing, the monarchs were not cowards elected without consideration of qualification. As it was evident from the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the executive heads of both parties, like Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna, and Duryodhan, were not sleeping. All of them were actual participants in the fighting, which was selected to be executed at a place away from the civil residential quarters. This means that the innocent citizens were immune from all effects of fighting between the rival royal parties. The citizens had no business in seeing what was going to happen during such fighting. They were to pay 1/4 of their income to the ruler, whether he be Arjuna or Duryodhan. All the commanders of the parties on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were standing face to face, and Arjuna saw them with great compassion and lamented that he was to kill his kinsmen on the battlefield for the sake of the empire. He was not at all afraid of the giant military phalanx presented by Duryodhan, but as a merciful devotee of the Lord, renunciation of worldly things was natural for him, and thus he decided not to fight for worldly possessions. But this was due to a poor fund of knowledge, and therefore it is said here that his intelligence became polluted. His intelligence could not be polluted at any time because he was a devotee and constant companion of the Lord, as is clear in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Apparently, Arjuna's intelligence became polluted because otherwise there would not have been a chance to deliver the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for the good of all polluted, conditioned souls engaged in material bondage by the conception of the false material body. The Bhagavad Gita was delivered to the conditioned souls of the world to deliver them from the wrong conception of identifying the body with the soul and to re-establish the soul's eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. Atma Vidya, or transcendental knowledge of himself, was primarily spoken by the Lord for the benefit of all countries, for the benefit of all concerned in all parts of the universe. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Shri Ramapad Swami Iti Namine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavach Patita Naam Pavne Vyo Shri Shri Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna devotees, thank you very much for coming for this Srimad Bhagavatam class, and I pray to you to please bless me that I can say something of some value in elaborating this verse, passing away of Bhishma Dev and the verse. We can actually say the translation together if it's all right. Somebody there? Oh, it's right there. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance, upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Jai. Beautiful prayer. And actually, as I'm wearing this beautiful garland, and there's Tulsi Manjaris, and they are so fragrant. It's really beautiful. Thank you, whoever made this garland, and thank you for offering. So, the first main point of this purport, in which Prabhupada says, the kings and the commanders were to stand in front of the fighting soldiers. So, nowadays, as we know, the kings, there's no king for the most part, the presidents or the prime ministers, they are supposed to be like the commander-in-chief of the military, but what do? They maybe hide in a room somewhere. Like I remember when Osama bin Laden was being chased and they finally killed him, and the news came out that the president and his cabinet were sitting in a bunker somewhere in DC and they were watching it on live stream. So that's what they were doing. They were like sitting somewhere far, far away. And actually today, as you know, is Veterans Day, and that's why by Krishna's mercy I'm here, because it's a holiday for me. But so on Veterans Day, the king and many of the cabinet ministers and many of the politicians will go and lay wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier, or on the tomb of, you know, in Washington D.C. there's a big cemetery where all the fallen soldiers, they are buried. So they will lay a wreath, and that's what they're doing. That's their contribution to the fight. They will provide money, of course, and lots of weapons, but they themselves don't go there. But Srila Prabhupada says the kings and the commanders were to be standing in front, and you see how great Maharathis, or very, very, you can say advanced people like Arjuna and Duryodhan and Bhishma, they were all actually present there on the battlefield. They were not just sitting in the back. And actually, even we know from a couple thousand years ago, Alexander, who's supposed to be, he's called the Great, of course, he did a lot of bad things, but he actually would go with all his army, and he was traveling with them, doing all the things which they were doing, undergoing all the austerities and fighting the wars. And we know from different examples from Bhagavatam, like when Parikshit Maharaj was born and Yudhishthir Maharaj was very, very concerned whether this child will be a true representative of our dynasty. So he asked all the brahmanas, please look at his chart and tell us whether he'll be a kshatriya, whether he'll be a good representative. So the kshatriyas in those days were very much careful to train. And even we know all the Pandavas and even the Kauravas were trained very much, very well in the kshatriya art, so that when they actually became rulers, they would actually be, they would know the art, and they would actually not be cowards, and they would actually fight if there was need for a fight. And recently I heard a class in which this devotee was telling us about Uttama Kumar. Anybody knows about Uttama Kumar, Virata's son? Yeah? You want to tell the story? Do you know anything about him as far as fighting?
Well, all I know about, you know, about him running away. He wanted to go fight with the Kauravas, but then when he saw the army, then he kind of he could see that he wasn't able to face him, so then Arjuna came.
Right. So, yes, Mother, what she told, this is what exactly I have, but for the sake of the devotees who are listening online. So this is King Virata's son. So Arjuna was actually staying in their kingdom during the incognito period of their exile. And he was a dance teacher. And this, their son, Uttama Kumar, was actually kind of a bragster. He used to brag about, you know, all his exploits, and he liked to be very popular with the ladies. That's what I heard when I heard in the class. So he would tell them all kinds of things, what he did and what he did not do. And so now the Kaurava army was coming upon this kingdom. So he was sent to fight, be the leader. And he was very afraid. He was actually a kind of very big coward. But they sent Arjuna with him. For some reason, I'm not sure why, but they sent Arjuna with him. And he was like, why are you sending me a dance teacher? What will he do? But anyway, once he sees the army of the Kauravas, he's very scared and he wants to run away. And then Arjuna actually says, hey, don't run away. You know what? You go and find my bow and arrows are hidden in this tree. Go find them. Keep my secret. I'm Arjuna. I'll keep your secret that you were a coward and you wanted to run away. So Arjuna actually single-handedly defeated the entire Kaurava army. And actually, in that army, Bhishma, Drona, they were all there. And actually, Bhishma Dev was, when he saw the arrows and how the Kaurava army was being defeated, he could tell this has to be Arjuna. So, like in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Arjuna was not at all afraid of the giant military phalanx presented by Duryodhan, because he had already defeated the army once, and he was a very, very powerful Kshatriya. So, we know that he was not polluted by ignorance, as Bhishma Dev says. Actually, Bhishma Dev says, seemingly polluted by ignorance. Because he was actually, he's Krishna's devotee and very dear friend, and there is no way that he can be polluted or that he's a coward. Just like we saw in the case of Virata's, when he fought for King Virat. He's no coward, but he is compassionate. As Srila Prabhupada has very, very elaborately described, that he's compassionate and his heart is very soft, and he's very much sad, or he's already feeling he's distraught that so many soldiers will be killed. And so Arjuna was apparently placed in a bodily consciousness of life, and the reason being, Srila Prabhupada said, that so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. And Prabhupada says, a chance to deliver the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for the good of all polluted conditioned souls engaged in material bondage by the conception of the material body. So Arjuna actually did not have to hear the Bhagavad Gita, because he's himself already he's a pure devotee and very, very, like a, you can say, a confidant and very, very intimate friend of Krishna. And I was just, as I was listening to some classes, I've been listening to Srila Prabhupada's classes, in one of the classes he was saying about the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that, you know, actually Bharatvarsha was, at that time, was not just like we have the present day India. It was all, the entire planet was Bharatvarsha, and kings from all over came to join the Mahabharat war. So from all over the planet. And so some of them decided to join the Kurus, some decided to join the Pandavas. For whatever reason, they each must have their own reason. But the data shows that 64 crore men were killed in the Kurukshetra war, or in Mahabharat. And I know crore when growing up in India, but I have to check Google to see how many millions in one crore. So anybody knows how many millions in one crore?
10 million.
10 million. Thank you, Prabhuji. So 10 million in one crore. So if you do the math, 640 million people were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And a quick search showed me that US population in 2019 was 330 million. So you can imagine double the population of the United States was killed in 18 days. So no wonder Arjuna was feeling very much reluctant to fight this battle. But we know that it was a battle which was fought for religious reasons. Krishna was present, and he actually finally sanctioned it, because the Kurus were not ready to give even a pinprick of land. And just, we say, like, seemingly, or just to go back to the point of seemingly overcome by ignorance, we know that Maharaj Parikshit, in the case of him going to Shamaka Rishi's ashram, and he seemingly got very angry and actually garlanded the sage with the dead snake. But this was because a stage was being set by Krishna so that the Bhagavatam will be spoken. Just like the Gita was going to be spoken because of the apparent bodily consciousness of Arjuna. Another point which Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport is that the battle was executed at a place away from the civil residential quarters. This means that the innocent citizens were immune from the effects of fighting between the rival loyal parties. So the citizens had to be protected. And as we know, as we have studied the Bhagavatam, we've heard how the kings were actually Rajrishis, saintly kings. And they were... to take up the kingdom was, or to take up the austerities of ruling a kingdom was so that they can protect the citizens. And the citizens would pay 1/4 of their income in taxes, and mostly in the form of produce, because, you know, it was agrarian society. And they would just say, okay, 1/4 of the crop is for the king, and the rest is for my upkeep and my family. And we see the recent wars which have been fought, that in Kali Yuga, all the wars, like World War II, how many cities were destroyed by bombardment and so many innocent citizens were killed, or in retaliation when the Allies dropped the bomb, atom bomb on Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we know thousands and thousands of people were killed, and many thousands were actually affected for many generations to come because of the radiation. So the ruler actually was not able to protect their citizens. And we have heard about Ram Rajya, when Lord Ram was the ruler, that the people did not have any, there was no glanir, no anxiety, no jara, no vyadhi, no no old age, no disease, and even Yamaraj had no power on the kingdom of Lord Ram, because people would die when they wanted to die, when they desired. So in a way we can see that Bhishma Dev, what he got, the benediction, actually in Lord Ram's rule, every person was like that. They could leave their body when they wanted, and the kingdom was very peaceful. And later on we see in Yudhishthira Maharaj's rule that, so this will be discussed in the next chapter, chapter 10, but I wanted to just bring this up, that Yudhishthira Maharaj's rule was very peaceful, and I'll just go through a few verses. This is chapter 10, verse 6. Due to the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Think about it. How many people are in the mental health system nowadays? And we have COVID. We had the Spanish flu 100 years ago. Thousands and thousands of people died because of the diseases. And then we have a hurricane every other day. We have a hurricane coming in the south. You know, Florida and Louisiana have had so many, Alabama have had so many hurricanes this season. So during King Yudhishthira's rule, there were no mental agonies, no diseases, and even the natural elements became cooperative. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that nature must become cooperative, because nature is another energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the king is actually a Raj Rishi, his whole goal is to just guide the citizens toward Krishna consciousness, then Maya Dhakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Because nature is working under Krishna, so nature will actually not bring disturbances on the people, on the citizens. So in the time of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the government was responsible to keep people peaceful without anxiety, and Prabhupada says that is government. And he says nowadays he's a rascal, third class man, fourth class man. He gets the vote and we give vote. So how can we be happy? How can we be carefree or anxiety free or disease free? It is not possible. Therefore, if the people in general, they become Krishna conscious, they become trained up in Krishna consciousness, they understand the value of life, how to live, then they can send good representative, Krishna conscious man. Then the government will be nice. So we have seen in the recent history, it's a tall order to send a Krishna conscious person to the government. We can barely make it. We have one representative in Congress who's kind of a devotee, right? Tulsi. Very hard, very difficult to send, because people are so overcome with greed, with the desire to become, like, you know, the controllers, that a Raj Rishi in Kali Yuga, not very likely that they will get the power. So there is one story about Lord, in the time of Lord Ramachandra, that one Brahman actually approached Lord Ram and said, "My son died. How is it possible in your rule my son died before me?" So Prabhupada says that is the natural order, that the father lives, the father dies before the son. So he's actually questioning Lord Ram. There must be something wrong, that in your kingdom my son has died before me. So that's how much the citizens expected the ruler to be so pious and so Krishna conscious that everything was in order. There was, like Prabhupada says, it must be systematic. So the king got some taxes, and the king also received the karmic activities of the citizens. So they wanted to make sure that the citizens are actually God conscious, Krishna conscious. So coming back to the point of Arjuna being polluted, I want to share some Brihad Bhagavatamrita quotes. I've been during the pandemic, by the arrangement of COVID, I was able to read all of first volume with association of other devotees, and I'm currently, we're reading second volume of this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So here, you know, Narada Muni is going to different devotees and saying, "You are the most, you have received the mercy of the Lord the most." So when he comes to Hanuman, and Hanuman says, "I'm nothing." And then he starts praising the Pandavas. So I wanted to just share some of the some of the praise which Hanuman has heaped on the Pandavas, so that we can understand how the Pandavas are so elevated that there's no way that they can be polluted. So here is Hanumanji talking to Narada Muni. He says, all the mercy he, the Lord, has shown me cannot equal even a speck of the mercy he has shown on the saintly Pandavas, any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. And this is very good. I really like this. By sending poison and many other calamities, one after another, to trouble the Pandavas from their childhood, the Lord deliberately showed their determination, religion, fame, wisdom, devotion, and ecstatic love. So by actually sending all those calamities, Krishna is actually broadcasting their glories throughout the world, that my devotee actually never perishes. And my devotee is so, even though they're getting so many difficulties, they're still fixed up. And Hanuman continues, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. And in the commentary, Sanatana Goswami says that whenever Krishna heard the Pandavas were in danger, he would want to drop whatever he was doing and go at once to help them. How very, very fortunate. And now Hanuman, as he's speaking about the glories of Pandavas, he actually goes into like a trance and he starts speaking like the Pandavas are in front of him. And he says, O Pandavas, pure love has subdued you. Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, you engage my Lord as your messenger and charioteer. Ah, you Pandavas must know some transcendental herb or mantra that can enchant the most powerful enchanter. And what is that herb? They have total dependence on Krishna. That's what they are. They're nothing else but they depend upon Krishna. And Hanuman is still glorifying. This is like verses after verses. Those Pandavas never desire anything material because they constantly serve Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And indeed, their own lotus feet are worshipped by the spiritual masters of the Paramhansas. So Pandavas are worshipping Krishna's lotus feet and their lotus feet are being worshipped by great Paramhansas. And then he talks about, this is something which I like about, this is related to preaching. The eldest of these brothers rules the state out of love for the personality of Godhead. Thus his kingdom is rich in all sorts of assets rarely enjoyed by the demigods. And in the commentary, Sanatana Goswami says, King Yudhishthira accepted the responsibilities of the throne because they afforded great opportunities for spreading Krishna consciousness. He knew that two special kinds of service available only in the material world. So there are only two special kinds of services. One of them is killing demons, and the other one is preaching to conditioned souls. And he says those are the only two services which please the Supreme Lord, even when they involve what seems to be material entanglement. So my dear devotees, we can kill the demonic tendency in whoever we meet, and we can preach to conditioned souls. So those are the, so we won't be entangled. It looks like we'll be entangled, but when we go out, we are actually not affected by their energy because we are giving them Krishna. So be rest assured, Krishna is going to protect you when we go out to distribute Krishna consciousness. And saintly Arjuna became renowned throughout the world for his intimate friendship with Krishna. And Hanuman says, I can never sing all the glories of Arjuna, even if I recite hundreds of Puranas. And somewhere I had read, I'm not sure if I have marked it, that Krishna says, once Krishna said actually in the court of the Kauravas, and Narada Muni was present there, he said, a friend of the Pandavas is my friend and their enemy my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life heirs. Krishna said that. So such a dear devotees of Krishna can never be an illusion, can never be polluted, seemingly polluted, just so that we can get mercy, and we can hear the Bhagavad Gita, or we can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Arjuna actually, when finally Narada Muni does come to him, as he's traveling, now he comes to Arjuna, he comes to the Pandavas, and each of the Pandavas says something about why they are not the recipient of Krishna's mercy. But Arjuna actually is feeling very despondent. He says to Narada, how do you think I feel? My master was taking arrows on my behalf. And so he was feeling very despondent. And I will read the exact verse which is quoted here in the Bhagavatam Gita. He said, swayed by dry speculation, concerned only with their own dharma, Bhishma and others on the field of war fiercely attacked Lord Shri Krishna, piercing his armor and flesh. Lord Krishna, the wielder of the Sudarshan Chakra, tolerated for my sake those repeated attacks on his divine body, although I tried to stop him. So Arjuna was very unhappy that on his behalf, the Lord took all those arrows. And, you know, recently, I think it was Sri Devi's class in which she said the arrows which were coming from Bhishma Dev were like, what were they like? Like roses. They were actually, Krishna was feeling them like they were like roses coming to him. It was like an offering of roses, all the arrows which were coming from Bhishma Dev. And another time when we know that Arjuna was very despondent was after he comes back from Dwarka and the Yadu dynasty is already annihilated, Krishna has left and he was bringing the queens with him, and then he cannot protect them. And in the meanwhile, Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing all the bad omens. He's seeing all the bad omens that he knew something was not right. And this is coming up in chapter 15 of this canto. And so I want to just share some things about Arjuna's recalling his exchanges with Krishna and realizing by remembering those exchanges that he was actually associating with Krishna, because he was thinking of all the times when he was, you know, he was playing or eating and sleeping and hearing his instructions on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that he was actually associating with Krishna. And he could feel the personal presence of the Lord as he's remembering these. So after a lot of questioning by Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna finally reveals what had happened in Dwarka and what had happened that Krishna had already left the planet. And then he started talking about the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He says, great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadrath, all directed their invincible weapons against me, but by Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. It was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And it was due to my lack of esteem for my Lord that I dared engage him as my chariot driver, for he is worshipped and offered services by the best men to attain salvation. And then he says, now I'm attracted to those instructions of the Gita, imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So we can actually read and reread the Bhagavad Gita, because it will relieve our burning heart, all of the different anxieties we have, the different circumstances which are affecting us. As we read, like, you know, this is such a big blow to Arjuna that Krishna has actually left the planet, but he's saying by remembering those instructions, he's actually feeling so much relief. And in the next verse it says, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. And so the Bhagavad Gita was actually spoken just so that to teach everybody that in critical times, not only for, you know, for mental agonies or material things, but also We can get out of great entanglements, which, you know, might be embarrassing for us, different things might happen. But if we take to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, we can actually feel great solace, just like Arjuna was doing in a very, very critical time of his life. So I wanted to just go a little bit talk about Bhishma Dev, and how Bhishma Dev, as he's laying on this bed of arrows, he is, he's saying all these different prayers just because he wants Krishna to be in front of him as he's leaving this planet. And he is actually, when we see this verse, in this verse he's seeing Krishna as Partha Sarthi, because he's seeing Krishna and Arjuna, and Krishna instructing to Arjuna. So because Bhishma Dev is in the chivalrous rasa, he's in dasya bhav, but his mood is of chivalry. So he's actually seeing, he wants to see that form of Krishna in front of him as he's leaving this world. And the pastime of Lord Krishna running, picking up the wheel and running towards Bhishma Dev, it actually is described that Krishna is actually reciprocating with Bhishma Dev's love for him, because Bhishma Dev wanted to see him as a Kshatriya, because Krishna had said, I will not pick up any weapon. But he did pick up an unconventional weapon. And Krishna is described, Krishna was so happy, and Bhishma Dev was much, he was in total ecstasy when he sees Krishna picking up that wheel. And it's described that he was actually in samadhi, just by, you know, seeing the Lord's personal features. So, and as he's laying on the shayya or the bed of arrows, so it's not that Bhishma Dev is going through yam, niyam, asan, dharan. No, he's just focused on the Lord and his lotus feet, and he's remembering the personal pastimes of the Lord. So what we can take is that we must approach the Lord's lotus feet very much like Bhishma Dev is doing. What he's showing us, that he sees Krishna as his worshipful Lord, actually before battle of Kurukshetra, during and afterwards. He's seeing the Lord as his worshipful Lord. Like blood is coming out of Krishna's wounds, but as we heard that Krishna's body is not material, so those wounds were not actually hurting him, but those wounds were giving pleasure to Bhishma Dev, and Krishna was experiencing a lot of pleasure. Immense happiness, it says. Krishna feels immense happiness on this exchange with Bhishma. And another place I read was that Bhishma was actually very happy that he was on the side of the Kauravas, because he could see Krishna's lotus face, whereas Arjuna could only see his back. So Bhishma was actually in ecstasy that he could see Krishna face to face. As we hear of Bhishma Dev's passing and been reading for quite a number of days, we must all be remembering Achaitanya Charitamrita and the passing of... Whose passing do we remember when we... Haridas Thakur. And I thought we can just kind of end with this pastime of Haridas Thakur leaving. And actually when Haridas Thakur was leaving, it was mentioned a few times. This is like Bhishma Dev leaving. So Haridas Thakur says to Mahaprabhu when he came to see him, I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. And Haridas Thakur, what did he do? He made Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and then he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. Very much like Bhishma Dev is doing, right? He's just focusing his eyes on Krishna. He held the lotus feet of Sri Mahaprabhu on his heart and then took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put it on his head. He began to chant the holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like a great mystic yogi, everyone remembered the passing away of Bhishma Dev. And later on. So Mahaprabhu actually picked up the body of Haridas Thakur and he danced and danced and danced in great ecstasy. And then he took the body of Haridas Thakur and went to the ocean. And he said, from this day on, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site. So that would be considered, that would be the Indian Ocean, right? Or the Bay of Bengal. On that side is the Bay of Bengal. That's where he bathed Haridas Thakur. So it's become a great pilgrimage site. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and they smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. So I remember when I went to Jagannath Puri, and it was a very short visit, but I remember going to the ocean and I was thinking about this, and that Haridas Thakur was actually, his body was in that ocean, and Mahaprabhu was actually saying that this has become a great pilgrimage site. So if you get to go there, please take a dip, and it's actually as good as taking bath in the Ganges. And take a sip, although the water is salty, but it is Charanamrita, Haridas Thakur, because his body touched. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur gave up his life, and exactly like Bhishma, previously died simply by his own desire. So, how we are performing our devotional service at the time of death, that will determine where we are going. So we have to be, every day, that's how I see myself, that every day, who knows which day will be my last. So we can take this upon ourselves, that how am I performing my devotional service, like it was read this morning. We can take an inventory from last Ekadashi to this Ekadashi. Have I made any advancement? Have I made any changes in my rigmarole life to make a little bit of advancement in my Krishna consciousness? It's very important to take note of that, because yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajati ante kalevaram. Whatever state of mind or whatever state of being we remember at the time of death, in the next life we'll attain that without fail. So we know that great, like Bhishma Dev or Prithu Maharaj, how they actually gained lotus feet of Krishna. They went back to Godhead, and then we know the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, who became a deer, or King Puranjan, who actually became a woman because he was too attached to his wife as he was leaving his body. So we can make ourselves, a take-home message is that we meditate on the Supreme Lord, meditate on his activities, his pastimes. But the most important thing is we concentrate on Naam Prabhu. We concentrate on chanting the holy name, and the Lord's roop, the Lord's form will unfold. His guna, guna will unfold in front of us, his form of Krishna, and his leela will unfold in front of us. We don't have to make any extraneous endeavors that, oh, now I'm going to meditate and I should see Krishna giving the instruction to Arjuna. No. It will, as our chanting is becoming more and more purified, those things, rupa, guna, leela, will automatically manifest. And Prabhupada actually says that is the factual perfection of chanting. So I'll stop now and I will just read the verse again. And if anybody has any questions, please ask. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Thank you. Mother Nandini Kishori, you have a question?
Before the father?
Yeah. I think
You know, I'm confused between two pastimes.
Because it's Krishna's time, Arjuna, and they went to...
Right, they went to get the sons from there because Lord Vishnu had taken them because he wanted to see Krishna. So Lord Vishnu said, all the sons are here. But that was during the pastime in Dwarka. So I'm not sure in the case of Lord Ram, anybody knows why the sons died? Why the son of the Brahmana died? Is there a reason for it? I'm not sure. Anybody knows? The son was dying before the father in Lord Ram's past, Lord Ram's kingdom. I didn't really come across that description or the... So I'm not really sure. Anybody else has any question? Thank you, Madanandini Kishori. Prabhuji. He has the microphone actually for you.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice class. So my question is, and it's more like some philosophical thought. And I've heard that 640 million people died. 640 million is really huge number. Passing 640 million people from a city in 18 days, just passing is not possible, logically not possible. Forget about coming and fighting and you know, somebody has to remove their bodies and do funeral and cremation and all that. So my question is, how do you suppress your intelligence while discussing these thoughts? So as I said, you know, it's more like a philosophical thing. So your intelligence will say, oh, it's not possible, you know, it's not possible. But how would you convince that, no, it's possible and it happened, you know, just listen what your acharya says or book says. So that's
actually,
my question.
Actually, that's a good question, good point you're bringing up. And I, as you were saying this, I was reminded of the story of the cobbler. You know the story of the cobbler? Cobbler?
What?
The cobbler, the jutawala, mochi, the one who makes shoes. So I'm not sure who's... I know the story of that the cobbler was... Narada Muni comes and he's going to different people, right? He goes to...
Brahmana.
He goes to the Brahmana and he says... Three people he goes to, right? He goes to the Brahmana and he says, so he says, oh, you just, Narada Muni, you just came back from, you know, from Goloka. What was my Lord doing? And he says that he was actually threading an elephant through the needle, in a needle. He was threading the elephant through the in a needle. And the Brahmana is like, huh? How is it possible? No way. And then he goes to another person and there were some elevated people. I can't remember who they were. Durvasamun. Two only.
And just the Brahmin.
And then the cobbler, when he comes to the cobbler, and when he tells the cobbler that, the cobbler is like, oh, he was so happy. The Narada Muni was telling in this pastime of the Lord, my Lord is so wonderful. What is impossible for him? Putting a needle and threading an elephant through the needle is totally not impossible for my Lord, because my Lord can do amazing feats. So it's possible. So when you're asking me the question, all I can say is that faith. We have that, like, you don't have to turn off your intelligence. You have to have your intelligence on Krishna's lotus feet. And you can have that understanding that it's achintya, achintya bheda. It's like inconceivable. It is inconceivable. And it can happen. It can happen. And as we hear that there are people from all over the world who are coming, who are there. And actually at the end it's described that there was the funeral ceremonies were happening at the end. So maybe, I've not actually read the Mahabharata, but those who have read the Mahabharata, maybe they have read that the bodies were being put on the side. I'm not sure. But there was a lot of manpower, people were doing all these things to keep on, you know, like even in our little pygmy wars, like World War II, there were people who would come and they would move the bodies because there were hundreds and hundreds of people who were dying on it sometimes within a day. So that kind of manpower was there to do the things. And in the case of the Kurukshetra war, only from sunrise to sunset. After that, they were friends. They were actually talking and Krishna actually, they took all of the arrows, right, from Bhishma Dev, which were meant to kill the Pandavas. Because, so after the battle, after the sunset, there was no fighting. So maybe at that time they were clearing away the battlefield. I'm just speculating. If anybody has read the Mahabharata, maybe they can share that. But yeah, Prabhuji, we don't have to turn off our intelligence. We have to just say, we can, we have to just see it as the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. And those things can happen. We have got a very pygmy, small little intelligence. What can we understand with our intelligence? That's the way I see it, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
One thing I'd like to add to that is that with our intelligence, we can understand that there's some things we don't understand.
Right, that was a good one. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I mean, even in this world, we can see so many things happen, and we're like, how did that happen? How could that happen? How could that happen? But it has happened. And so we can say, okay, it happened. So it happened. And we don't have to worry and spend time and energy. You know, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and I'm going to just focus on that. And whatever happens, happens, right? So who would have said last year at this time that 200,000 people would be dead in our country? Or I don't know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands could be dead in the world. But then when you read the Battle of Kurukshetra, it's like 640 million people died in 18 days. It is possible so many people will die. And actually, recently I was hearing something and I thought of this. That, you know, the burden of the earth, Krishna removes the burden of the earth sometimes. The material energy takes away the burden of the earth. So the burden of the earth is slowly being removed. And this could be one way that the burden of the earth is removed, that there is pestilence. And, I was listening to the pastime of the Yadus leaving. And the Yadus are so powerful that nobody could kill them because they are so powerful. And Krishna didn't want them to become too powerful after he left, and that they would start thinking that, you know, we are all in all, nobody can defeat us. So it was so arranged by the Lord, the will of the Lord, that they fought amongst each other because only they could actually annihilate each other. So during that time, I was thinking about the burden of the earth and how these kind of pestilences are way to reduce the burden of the earth.
I would like to add on that.
Yes, Prabhuji.
In a morning walk, one devotee asked Prabhupada, how is that Ugrasen, Maharaj Ugrasen, had a quadrillion? Do you know quadrillion? Bodyguard.
Tenders to the power of 10? Or 14?
Quadrillion bodyguard.
Wow.
So obviously, and then Prabhupada turned back, he says, with your puny brain, you can never estimate. He said, Jiva Goswami Pad says, we must accept achinta with Krishna, otherwise we'll never understand, we'll be deprived. That's why I like that comment. The highest achievement of intelligence is that our intelligence can never actually understand Krishna. It is only by bhakti we can understand, not by intelligence.
Yeah. Bhaktosmi. Bhaktosmi. Mother Nandini Kishori had another comment or question. And there is anything, is there anything online, Prabhuji?
No, not in the chat
room. All right. Yes.
So the same point by Prangovinda Prabhu, and in a class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami says, and still there were no traffic jams in Dwarka or Mathura, there was no honking. So it was still running so smooth. The modern systems are absent, and that's kind of a benediction for the population.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur. Bhaktosmi.